This is Digital Story Podcast number 984, January 28th, 2025. Today's theme is Spark Your Creativity with Online Workshops. I'm Derek Story. For those of us north of the equator, this isn't a great time of year to go exploring outside. Fortunately, you can stay indoors and enjoy a great photography experience with others who share your passion. We have some terrific online classes coming up, and I'm going to tell you about them right now. Plus, we have an interview with Rob Knight, the instructor for our first class, Becoming a More Creative Photographer. All of that and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So before we talk to Rob, which is coming up in just a minute here, I want to share with you a few of the online classes we have coming up. Because if you're getting a little stir crazy, a little winter doldrums, well, this will perk you right up, I promise you. The first one, which is the class led by Rob that we're going to talk about in the interview, Becoming a More Creative Photographer, that is in February, coming up February 5th. So it's right around the corner, but you can still sign up for it. And then in March, we're going to do iPhone and compact camera photography with mobile post-processing online workshop. I'm leading that one. And that is going to be the integration of our beloved cameras with our mobile devices, how to get the most out of both devices, and how to have fun doing it all together. Really good stuff. And then in June, we are doing Creative Camera Techniques Online Workshop. And this is going to be the companion piece to the workshop that Rob is teaching. He's going to really get into how to creatively approach your subjects and your photography. You know, what goes on between your ears and with your two eyes, and how do you make that translate into great pictures? I am going to be talking about in the June class how to take the tools that we have, these great cameras that we have, often with features we don't use. I'm going to explain some of those features that are, well, let's just say not tapped very often, and how you can combine them with your creative vision to take your photography to a whole new place. And that's coming up in June. All of these workshops are available at thenimblephotographer.com. I have a link in the show notes. You can sign up for any of them right now. They're affordable. Inner Circle members get a discount. They go on for an entire 4-week span, and it's a great way to spend time with others who also enjoy photography. All right, well, let's get to Rob, because Rob has some very interesting things to say. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. And again, he is the instructor for the upcoming Becoming a More Creative Photographer workshop. Let's see what he has to say. Rob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Derek. How's it going?
That's going really good, because we're going to talk about some online workshops, and we're going to start out. You have the debut workshop for the season, the online one, Becoming a More Creative Photographer. I'm pretty excited about this.
I didn't realize I was going to be the first online teacher this year. I'm pretty excited now, too.
Yeah, you're leading off, man.
Love it.
You and I talked about this, you know, obviously way before we put it up on the site. And I was really excited about, you know, some of the things that you ran by me in terms of, you know, what you've been reading and what you've been practicing and what you've learned doing workshops. You want to tell the folks just kind of what you foresee over the month of February with this online workshop?
Yeah, absolutely. The book that Derek's talking about is Rick Rubin's book that came out, I believe a year ago, called The Creative Act. And as I was reading that book, I kept thinking about things that he said about, in his case, music, but just being creative in general, and how it dovetailed with a lot of the ideas that I've been teaching for the last few years in my creative photography classes. And so Derek and I were talking about ideas for online classes, and I thought, you know, I could sort of combine these ideas in Rick Rubin's book and some ideas from Jay Mazel's book that I love, Light, Gesture, and Color, and really expand this 1-hour creative photography program that I've given to camera clubs and that kind of thing over the years. it's so easy to practice photography tools, right? You can do the math, you can figure out aperture and shutter speed and ISO, and it's pretty easy to practice, right? You can take a photo at different apertures and see how that affects your depth of field, and there's various concrete things that you can do to improve your photography skill. But I remember a time several years ago when I was a budding photographer and an enthusiast, and I took all the classes and I read all the books, and I had basically complete confidence in my skill as a camera operator. And I got to the point where I wasn't really sure if I knew what to do with this tool. And it was an eye-opener for me, and I went back to the drawing board creatively, and I found ways to practice my creativity. And then I've turned those into this program and this class that I'm going to teach, and I'm really excited about it. I've always had a really, really good feedback from people who've seen this presentation, and invariably I have a couple of people come up to me after the camera club meeting or you know wherever I'm presenting and say, you know, I really needed this right now because I'm so my camera is just second nature and I know exactly how to do it, but I'm having a hard time figuring out why, and I'm feeling really creatively stuck. So this has really helped me out a lot. So I think that's what the students in the next, you know, month or so are going to get from this online class.
Yeah, and this is a perfect time of year to do it. For those of us north of the equator, weather's not so great. What's the weather right now in Atlanta, Rob?
Well, it's not snowing today, which is good. I think it's warming up today to around 35 or 40 degrees, but of course now it's raining. So it's been pretty gross. And you're right, a class like this is a great opportunity to get ideas if you're stuck in the house or if you want to go walk around on a gross rainy day. We're going to talk about ways that you can get out and explore and sort of push past the normal things that you might photograph. Yeah, it's easy. When we had our group in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago, there was no shortage of inspiration, right? There's no shortage of, hey, what should I shoot? It's like, well, that's, you know, shoot the monkey. He's right there, right? But
Right.
sometimes when you don't have the obvious target-rich environment like we had there, it's nice to have some other exercises in your bag to practice with.
And even then, we were pushing for creativity. And
Yeah.
that's the nice thing about the workshop environment, whether it's online or in person, you have the time and you have the inspiration. Sometimes it comes from the other workshop participants, which is one of the things that I really like about all of our events, whether they're online or in person, is that half the ideas come from the other folks. You may plant a seed, but then they may come up with their own variation on a technique. And I just love that aspect of it. And it's one thing to have a presentation that is like a one-shot thing. Those are great, and those can really get us going. But in this case, you're going to present material, and then they're going to be working on stuff, and then you reconvene, and then more material, and then you review what they did, and they get to talk among themselves. We have an online site where they can post pictures, and we can be looking at stuff in between sessions. I think there's just something magical about the extended format, where you get to listen, process, try, get feedback, and then start all over again. That's just so wonderful. And being winter for so many of us right now, what a great time of year to work on stuff so that even when the weather is nice again, we're going out with a whole new set of ideas.
Yeah, that's the idea, right? I've gotten into a few discussions online recently by people posts to the effect of, well, why would I take a photography class when I could learn everything I need to know on YouTube? And you pointed out several of the best reasons why. Not only do you have a leader, a facilitator, you know, a teacher who you can ask questions of if you don't understand what's going on or if you need something explained in a different way. But you're also part of a community and you're meeting people who are obviously have at least one similar interest, right? These are other photographers and they're inspired to be better at photography and they want to learn different things and you can ask them questions and learn from them. And that workshop format is so valuable just from a person-to-person standpoint. And I think it's easy to forget that. Again, when I want to know something, how do I change the headlight bulb in my car? I go to YouTube and I want to learn, just one thing. But for something like creativity, like photography techniques, it's so valuable to have people to bounce ideas off of, right? Because we're not just going from A to B to C. There's a lot of variables that we can control, and it's really nice to have that community to take advantage of.
I totally agree. And it's not a one-way street, this kind of learning. I use YouTube a lot for, I have a bigger problem with taillights, but so maybe it's just the cars I have, but they really, oh, you have to disassemble the trunk to get to the taillight. Okay, thanks.
Right.
YouTube's great for that. It's fantastic because it's a one-way street. But creativity, and I would say just photography in general, is so much more dynamic than that, and which is one of the things I love about it, right? If it was just a one-way street, then I'd probably be bored with it by now, instead
Yeah,
of
I agree.
just totally jonesing for the next workshop season to begin. Along those lines, do you have any like personal tips that you use? Let's say when we're out in Costa Rica and there aren't any prime subjects to shoot, but yet you still want to take pictures. Do you have any little techniques that you use to kind of get things going?
I'll tell you one of my exercises that I developed from a client years ago, asking the really excellent question. She said, sometimes I'll see a subject and I think, wow, this is a really great subject, and a good photographer would make a really beautiful photograph of this thing, whatever it is. But then when I take the picture, it doesn't look right. It doesn't even look like what it is. And I never seem to get to that point where I'm making this great photograph that I can envision. So she asked, how do you get to that point where you know how to take the best photograph of any given situation? I really had to think a lot about that, because it's the easy answer as well. It's with experience, or it's try lots of things. But I literally woke up in the middle of the night that night and I wrote this down. And I call it the 10 frames exercise. So you choose one subject and you basically pre-visualize and then capture 10 specifically different images of that subject. So the idea is that the first four or five images are sort of the regular way that you might photograph a thing. Say you choose a rose bush, for example. You take a picture of the bush and then you take a picture of the flower and then you might photograph the texture of the thorns. So there's just ways that we don't even realize how we're programmed that this is the photograph that you make when faced with X, Y, or Z. This exercise allows you, it forces you to sort of move beyond that, so that, by the sixth or seventh image, you might be going, it's a rose bush. What do I do? And then you have to start thinking, well, let me use this as a foreground element to shoot something behind it. I might shoot through the bush, right? Maybe I'll photograph the shadow of the rose bush. Maybe I'll photograph something else and make the leaves the background of a different subject. It's a good exercise to try to just pick one thing and see it in every possible way in a short amount of time. And I've had clients over the years that when we do our final presentations at the end of say a week in Costa Rica, one of these images of their 10 frames exercise always ends up in their favorite images, because it's something that just is not like they usually shoot, right? It gets them totally out of their normal style and really gets them looking at things in a different way. And I think that's really fun. If I'm stuck, I'll do that. I'll just pick a subject and, well, let me see how many different ways I can explore this thing.
I love that exercise. I think that's terrific. And I'm curious, as I'm thinking about it, how often your favorite image from that series would be later in the frames, around 7, 8, 9 instead of 1, 2, 3. Do you have any
That's
feel
right.
for that, or is it just all over the map?
It's like you said, it's normally that 7, 8, or 9 because you stumble upon things that you wouldn't have thought of and you didn't think of before. And then you get and for some reason the 10th frame is rarely the best one because you're like, my brain hurts. There's smoke coming out of my ears. I'm tired. So the 10th is rarely the best one, but 7, 8, or 9 is that sweet spot. You've already sort of shuffled through the pictures that anybody would make, and you really find a different way that you specifically see that thing.
I have another question for you. I was just thinking about this while you were talking, which is how much does the camera itself, I mean, we talk about the difference between being an operator and then being a creator. How much difference have you noticed in the camera itself as you're working on becoming a more creative photographer? And the reason why I ask you this question before you answer is that the cameras that are coming out now and have been coming out the last few years are including a lot more creative functionality than we had before. Some of the obvious ones are, film simulations, double exposures, art filters, all that kind of stuff. Have you tapped that part of the equation, what the camera provides? Or is it really something more just in terms of just how you approach the subject? Is there, what is that dynamic there for you?
There's definitely a balance with these new features for me. And I always say you can be the most creative when you don't have to think about your tools anymore. So if you forego learning about the camera, then you're never really going to be able to just relax and think about the image you want to make. It's when the camera becomes second nature. I think you and I, when we're out shooting, we're not thinking literally aperture, shutter speed, ISO. We just make those things happen because we're so comfortable using the equipment.
I agree.
But on the other hand, there are photographs that I made with my Olympus cameras, with the computational photography features that they have, live composite, for example, and the live time and these modes that I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. And it turns on different parts of my brain that I wouldn't even have thought to do if I didn't have that capability in my hand. So that can definitely be very fun. That's actually one of the, we're going to talk about that during the class because I know I recognize a lot of the clients on the list already. And I know a lot of people have especially in your community, in the inner circle, have, Olympus cameras and other tools that they can employ that they might not have really come up with a reason to use.
And this gives me a chance to talk about one of my workshops, which I consider a companion piece to yours. So in June, then we have the Creative Camera Techniques
Nice.
online workshop. And, I'm going to be obviously watching your workshop closely and following what you talk about. But what I want to emphasize when we get to June, then, are some of these hidden tricks that I've learned over the years, still learning, right, from other photographers that are built into our cameras that a lot of times we don't really realize that it has those types of capabilities. And then how to use the techniques that you talk about to leverage them. And I just think that it's a wonderful 1-2 punch, what you're going to be talking about in February, what I'm going to be talking about in June. I just think this is going to be a really nice companion piece. And I should note to everyone, we record all of our workshop sessions. So if you attend the February workshop, Rob's workshop that he's talking about here, all of those recordings are available to you for basically virtually forever, which means that when you come into the June workshop where we start working with camera techniques, you can refer back to the recordings from the earlier workshop and then, kind of really put that synergy together, which is another thing that I like about the online workshops is that everything's recorded. It's fabulous.
That is a great resource. Because how many things did we talk about in Costa Rica a couple of weeks ago that, man, we should have done a video about that.
I know, and that those conversations, you know, I try to remember as many of them as I can, the ones that are really, you know, interesting to me, and hopefully make notes and somehow integrate them into our discussions later on. But you're absolutely right. Of course, if we if we recorded every minute in Costa Rica, that would be one long video series, wouldn't it?
I wouldn't want to edit that
No, I wouldn't
for
want to
sure.
edit that either. You know, this begins your workshop, Rob, begins on the 5th of February. So it's coming right up. And you can sign up if you're listening, you can sign up right now or tomorrow. You just go to thenimblephotographer.com. You can sign up on the spot. Of course, if you're an Inner Circle member, you get a discount because that's how we roll here. We have a nice group right now, as you mentioned earlier, but we have room for a few more, which is another nice thing about the online workshop. We don't have to worry about getting a bigger van if we have a few
That's
more people
right.
sign up, right?
No kidding. Yeah, we'll just have better, longer conversations.
Just better,
That's
longer
great.
conversations.
No, I'm excited, man. This will be my first class for the Nimble Photographer online. And yeah, I'm looking really forward to it.
This might be your first class with us, but why don't we just take one moment and tell us a little bit about your experience? You've been teaching for a long time, dude.
I have. I've been leading photo workshops for since 2009. A lot. I go to Costa Rica at least once a year since then. Our trip in January was my 41st trip to Costa Rica, and most of those are with photography groups. Other than that, I was a Panasonic Lumix luminary ambassador for about 6 or 7 years, and then I was invited after that to be an educator for Olympus. And I did that for a couple of years, and the pandemic really put an end to a lot of my teaching. I did a lot of online classes the first year, but I took a day job, so I'm doing that alongside teaching now. I'm a photographer and a creative director here in Atlanta. I'm excited to get back to teaching. Our trip to Costa Rica really got me excited. Actually, I have a presentation online tomorrow, and then I've got this class starting next week, so I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah, and I wanted you to talk about that because, you know, we just don't let any old dude come in here and teach a photography class, right? You gotta have chops. Rob and I, we're gonna take a personal moment here, if that's okay with you.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So Rob and I, we knew each other cordially, you know, because, you know, we both show up at Out of Chicago and things like that, right? So we knew about each other. We'd say hey in the hallway, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then in 2020, Olympus sent me to Costa Rica. I was part of the press corps, and Rob was help coordinating that trip for Olympus. And he and I had a conversation one night after dinner. We kind of just went away from the group and went over and had a couple Imperials. And we started exchanging philosophy about teaching. And the thing that we discovered is that our philosophy was very compatible. You know, what the things that he emphasizes were compatible with what I emphasize. And we're sitting there and we had this kind of this aha moment that we should be teaching together because our styles dovetail so well. And then we actually planned a Costa Rica workshop and the pandemic killed it. Costa Rica wouldn't let us into the country.
That's right.
But we kept talking during the whole pandemic and comparing notes. And, you know, we have spent a lot of time together since then. And I just think that you are a perfect fit for, you know, what we're doing here. And I'm really happy to have you here.
I really appreciate that, man. I feel exactly the same way. I think our trip together in January really cemented all of those things that you mentioned that we think, oh, you know what? This will probably be great. And then it was even better, I think, than we thought. And
I agree.
yeah, I'm excited to work more together.
It turned out, I mean, I had pretty good expectations and it exceeded them for sure. And
Same.
the reason why I bring this all up is because, you know, I want Rob to hang around and keep teaching classes for us both online, and I want to do more workshops with him. And I want you, as you listen to this, Be comfortable with his name, because you're going to see him a lot. And those of you that are signing up for the February class, you're really going to enjoy what you're in for. And just really happy to have you here working with us, Rob.
Me too, man. Thank you so much.
All right, that was terrific. Thanks again, Rob, and I'm looking forward to your class. I will be there along with all the others. X-RAW Studio, how to process Fujifilm RAW files on your computer with genuine Fujifilm processing. This is an article that's on DP Review. I have a link to it in the show notes. And I thought this was fascinating, and believe it or not, I was not really hip to this process, but I'm going to share it with you right now because once I found out about it, I thought it was pretty exciting. Here we go. Here's what they have to say. One of the big attractions of Fujifilm cameras is the company's film simulations that purport to mimic various film stocks. For many, these simulations are part of the core proposition of a Fujifilm camera. Many Fujifilm shooters are happy using out-of-the-camera JPEG images. If you also capture RAW files, you can retain the option to reprocess those images in camera. However, to process RAW files on a computer or batch process RAW photos, most users turn to third-party software like Adobe Camera Raw or Capture One, which include color profiles meant to mimic the original Fujifilm look. Mimic is the key word here. Those programs do reasonably well at approximating Fujifilm colors. However, even if the colors are close, there still may be differences in tone curves, noise reduction, and even simulated film grain. Additionally, they're not as well optimized for Fujifilm's non-standard demosaicing, nor do they always understand how to interpret the camera's DR modes correctly. Fortunately, there is a computer-based software solution that gets Fujifilm look exactly right, and I'm always amazed by how few Fujifilm users even know it exists. Fujifilm's own X-RAW Studio software, and it's available for free. And I have to admit, I was one of those Fujifilm shooters who did not realize this. Okay, so what is X-RAW Studio? Let's find out. A few weeks ago, I chatted with an enthusiast photographer who loves images from his Fujifilm camera. His one frustration, he told me, was having to reprocess RAW photos in camera one at a time if he wanted to make adjustments. This is exactly where X-RAW Studio comes in, and it solves this problem. Instead of using your computer's hardware and third-party software to mimic Fujifilm's processing, X-RAW Studio uses the image processor inside your camera to process RAW files. This means you can reprocess RAW images using Fujifilm's own film simulations and processing algorithms rather than another vendor's approximations. The one catch? Since the camera performs the processing, you must connect the camera to your computer via USB to use X-RAW Studio. It's easy to use, and it can be downloaded from Fujifilm, and they have a link to it here in their article. All Fujifilm cameras from recent years should be compatible, but you can find a complete list of supported models on Fujifilm's website, and again, they have a link to that in this article. You'll need to set the PC connection mode on your camera to USB RAW conversion. Once you've done that, you simply launch X-RAW Studio on your computer, turn on your camera, connect it using a USB cable, and you're ready to go. It's important to understand what X-RAW Studio is and what it is not. It's basically a desktop interface for the in-camera RAW conversion function on your camera. It allows you to convert RAW files saved on your computer using a tethered camera. It is not a full-featured image editor like Photoshop, Lightroom, or Capture One. You won't find extra tools like layers, masks, or local adjustments. The X-RAW Studio interface should feel familiar if you've used any other photo processing software. A left panel with file browser and image info, a right panel with processing parameters, and a strip of thumbnail images across the bottom. If you look closely at the processing parameters, you'll notice that they are exactly the same RAW conversion parameters available in camera. One advantage of using X-RAW Studio to adjust these parameters is that it updates the image preview in real time as settings are changed, giving you instant feedback. You know exactly what your image will look like with each change. The Convert button at the bottom of the right panel will process your image using whatever settings you've selected and save the processed image as either a JPEG or TIFF format. Remember, however, that all processing takes place in camera, not on the computer, so the TIFF option is only available if your Fujifilm camera model supports it. X-RAW Studio will be most helpful to photographers who want to adjust and convert more than a handful of photos to JPEG files. However, it's also an excellent tool for the film recipe crowd as it allows you to quickly apply custom settings to a group of images. If you want mainly to adjust and reprocess images from a Fujifilm camera using genuine Fujifilm processing, X-RAW Studio may be the only software you ever need. However, it's not a one-stop solution for all editing needs. Fortunately, great third-party options exist for more complex processing and editing tasks. I cannot wait to try this. I just found out about this today. I can't believe that I didn't know about it. And I'm looking at the screenshots in the article, and I think that this is just what the doctor ordered for me. I love Fujifilm's simulations, and I cannot wait to try this tool with my X100V. If there's anything notable, either good or bad, I'll make sure I follow up on either the podcast or the newsletter. iPad OS features you are not using but should. And this is an article on 9to5 Mac, and I have a link to it in the show notes. I have to tell you, I watched the video that goes with this article, and I think it is one of the best videos I've ever seen on learning new things that are of interest to me with the iPad. Now, I have the latest iPad mini. I think they call it the iPad mini 7, which I absolutely love. I use it every day. And yet there were things about it I did not know. And this video showed me many of them. And it covers things like built-in unit converter, which I did not know. So for instance, like when I was in Costa Rica and I wanted to convert miles to kilometers, things like that, it is built in to the calculator app and it doesn't require an internet connection. You know, once you have a connection, it will update, but it doesn't require that to use. Sharing Wi-Fi via QR code for visitors. Formatting drives with iPad OS. Oh my gosh, so you can format your thumb drives with files in iPad OS now. So there are a ton of tips like this. It's like a 15-minute video. I watched the whole thing. I would stop it and then try things out on the iPad as I was watching it. I just thought it was really good. And for those of you that have modern iPads, I think you'll absolutely love it. It's called iPad OS Features You Are Not Using But Should, and it's on 9to5 Mac, and I have a link to it in the show notes. 21 Famous Photographers and Their Photos. And this is a post that's on phototraces.com. I have a link to it in the show notes. And this is just fun. These are 21 famous photographers that you need to know. It goes through the list. It has examples of their work. Of course, it starts out with Ansel Adams, but it gets into Henri Cartier-Bresson, Philip Halsman, Man Ray, Ouija, Mary Ellen Mark, Robert Capa, Dorothea Lange, and on and on and on. And it's a nice primer on these photographers that, you know, really all of us should know about, how influential their work was. And I love it that they have photo examples of each of the photographers here. And it's a nice brush up. It's just a nice brush up for us to get a refresher course in our modern history of photography and some of the greats that, you know, really have propelled this art form, and I'm going to use that word intentionally, this art form forward. So at any rate, this is on phototraces.com, and it is called 21 Famous Photographers and Their Photos. All right, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. I want to start out with a big thanks to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that support this podcast month in and month out. And we are going to be seeing more of our Inner Circle members starting this next week because many of them have signed up for the Becoming a More Creative Photographer class with Rob Knight. And I'm looking forward to seeing them in class. And of course, part of the reason why they're there, not only because Rob Knight is a great teacher, but also because they get a discount by virtue of their Inner Circle membership. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of the digital store. You can nose around a bit, sign up, and once you sign up, you'll be receiving an email from me that gives you access to our Inner Circle space on Derek Story Online, and all of your benefits will be immediately available. And a big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast. I want to give a shout out to our good friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. We had some discussion on the Inner Circle space about printers the other day, and a lot of folks are really liking the new Canon affordable consumer printer. So one with tanks, the G620. I have one myself. And one of the topics that came up around this printer was the fact that folks that have this very high quality affordable printer are finding themselves printing more because it doesn't cost nearly as much to print, because now you have, you know, ink in a tank instead of a cartridge. It's so much more affordable. And since it doesn't cost a lot to print, suddenly you don't think as much about printing. There's less resistance, and now you're printing more. And, you know, the whole thing just kind of snowballs into something very positive. And I thought that was a very good discussion. I have noticed that too, that I am not hesitant to print at all with the G620 because I'm still on the original set of ink with it. You know, I keep looking at the tanks and I do this printing and it hardly goes down at all. It's really a lot of fun. And we've talked with Drew about the G620. It's a printer that Red River Paper likes, and they've given us some great insights on it. This is the community that I just like so much. You know, having the experts in Red River Paper, having Derek Story Online, the Inner Circle members who are excited about all things photography, and then who will bring up printing. It just all works together so well. And if you want to learn a little bit more about Red River Paper, all you have to do is click on that tile that's on every page of the Digital Story, nose around a bit, see what you think, and then you too can become a fan of inkjet printing. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed the interview. More terrific stuff for next week. Until then, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.